Live from Gamehole Con, it's Guys, Games, and Beer!
Yeah!
Hey! Well, here we are at Gamehole Con. Hey, you having a good time there, Tom?
Well, yes, Rob. Sitting down here on my one knee while I'm trying to stay in focus on the camera, I'm having a great time!
Do you see how amazingly big Tom's head looks? That is called parallax. It's amazing. Ah, oh, no, wait. His head's really that big.
What year is this?
I don't know.
28. This is Gamehole 2018.
Just saying.
All right, so what are we actually going to do right now, Rob?
We are going to do beer corn. Ba-da-bum. Ba-da-bum-bum. We still suck. All right, so here we go. What is today's beer, Tom?
Today's beer is Dr. Venom by our buddies over at Ale Asylum here in beautiful Madison, Wisconsin. Seeing as we're at the Madison Convention Center, the Alliant Energy Center here, and Gamehole is based here, we figured we'd do a local beer. Not like we haven't done a ton of Madison beers anyways, but hey, what's one more? And in all honesty, like we've always talked about Ale Asylum, pretty much anything you get from them is going to be solid. We've had some outstanding from them, but I don't think we've ever had anything that really sucked from them.
You know, Tom, and I got to be honest, the can picture kind of looks like it might be on one of these games somewhere.
I would agree with you on that.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, guys, don't forget, if you want something to say, steal a mic from someone.
That's exactly the words that were coming out of my mouth.
Wow.
Yeah, so
that is in, that is all right. IPA.
Okay, very IPA.
Okay.
Tom,
no, I'm
going to
say this is
had a lot worse
AIPA. I'm not getting anything special out of it.
It's something special. It's grapefruit.
It's great, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Mosaic
Denali.
Yeah.
It does. It kind of tastes like a combination of like
pineapple
and grapefruit.
Tom, I think you're not going to like this one too much. Gives this IPA hints of mango, pineapple, and bright touches of sweetness with a refreshing finish.
What have we told you about using fruit to describe a beer? Beer and fruit are not the same thing. Beer is beer. It should have some kind of a grain, preferably barley. It should have yeast. Or hops. No, and hops and water. You don't put any kind of fruit in. Now, I understand you're using Denali hops to get these flavors. That does not make it right to use fruit in the description.
But after a couple of sips, it grows on you a bit.
I mean, I'm going to be honest.
I'm not a beer professional,
but the very back end taste. And disagree with me here, people.
I can smell.
All right.
I can
taste
smell.
It almost exactly like chewing on an old cigarette butt.
Yeah, there's two conversations.
Okay, guys.
Right and left channel
that?
I don't know.
Okay, I'll repeat.
I taste the mango, I smell the pineapple.
I don't taste it.
Does anyone else taste the cigarette butt at the very end?
No, I don't.
I taste that cigarette butt at the very end.
They're all for the cigarette butt at the end.
Yeah.
I can't recognize that taste.
But I can say...
It's in your head, though.
Yeah, I can say that unlike a couple of other IPAs that I've had, it's not one of those that you have to chew through, that you got to force yourself to drink it. You know, after a couple of swallows, you know, it's actually not that bad.
No, I have to agree.
So keep swallowing.
That's
what
I keep saying, yeah.
Yeah,
just keep swallowing. I keep telling Tom this all the time. After a couple of swallows, it's going to be great.
All right. Let's finish this beer corn up, people. First of all, everybody, let's see what do you say for this beer? Wow.
I can't do it.
Okay, I'm going to say, guys.
No, I can't.
All right, well, Judge Rob, pass verdict. This one is a pretty much a down one. Ale Asylum, you failed us. We're in your hometown, and you failed us.
Rob, yeah,
I'm going to say that, you know, I generally do like the IPAs, and I just, there's something not, it's going from the fruit, yeah, from the fruit to the cigarette butt at the end. It feels like I'm sitting in the produce aisle and then having a cigarette. Something's not right. Something's just not right. So, on the charge of being a frickin' freak of nature, I find you guilty and sentence you to
drinking.
Yeah.
Yep.
This tastes like a Fort Myers retiree.
All right, Rob, tell people what they should be looking for.
And let's not ask how you know that.
You should be looking for me. Yeah, we have a whole bunch of interviews following this. Also, don't forget to check us out, just in case we don't have an end cap on this, www.guysgamesandbeer.net. And on Facebook, www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer. And on Twitter, where there are free game giveaways. And Tom talking a bunch of smack at Guys Games Beer. All right, here we go to the interviews.
Say bye.
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 You come make your own number on there, okay?
All right.
Do you know why they're only that many number?
Because that's what I'll put in the count.
That's all going to our count.
Yes.
You know this game?
No, you told me that earlier. You said you can only count to six.
Oh, you got the memory thing up there.
Something like that.
Okay, your game, okay?
All right.
You roll same number. Don't get ready yet, okay?
Okay.
You roll same number 2 times, you get 10 silver from Drunar Pouch.
Okay.
Okay, you not, you give Drunar 1 copper. 10-1 deal for you, silver, for you, copper for Drunar if you don't. Okay, you roll same number 2 times. Nope, you not get it.
I'm here with Guys Games and Beer.
I'm Jake, and we are here with
Francis from Dorkstock.
Tell us a little bit about what Dorkstock is.
So Dorkstock started as a mini convention within bigger conventions. We used to be in Rockford, and we moved a couple years ago up here to Gamehole Con, focusing mostly on John Kovalik's artwork and the plethora of games that he has drawn.
Really? When did you start again? You said at the beginning, I believe.
Our first Dorkstock was back in 2002 or 2003.
I think it is.
We took a couple years off around 2012, 2013, 2014, and we switched conventions at that point.
Awesome. So is this actually just a play? Do you just play?
We run games. We have some life-size games that we run, and we always have an Igor Bar contest.
Tell us about the contest.
So, Igor Bars are this outrageous idea that John Kovalik came up with in his comic book, Dork Tower, where instead of just having cookies, you have a chocolate chip cookie base layer stuck to a Rice Krispie Treat layer with caramel. So it's how outrageous can you go and still be able to eat it? And we actually just ate the cookies a few minutes ago.
Were they delicious?
So I'm on a bit of a sugar high, yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I think I can still eat that.
We still have some left. You're certainly welcome to after this.
I will. I will.
Awesome. Let's talk more games. What else you got?
We run a lot of Munchkin games because, as you may know, John Kovalik has drawn most of the flavors of Munchkin that are out there. At least all the non-licensed ones, like not the Marvel and stuff, but all the...
I thought you were going to say pirate ones. I was like,
well, there is
got
Munchkin
the pirate
booty.
Munchkin here?
Munchkin Booty, Munchkin Bites, Munchkin, which is the vanilla Munchkin, which is a Dungeons & Dragons type base for it. Star Munchkin was the second Munchkin game that came out. There's Munchkin Zombies. We actually have some of the Munchkin Zombies Walking Dead expansion at the convention this weekend. So we run a lot of Munchkin because, honestly, there is a lot of Munchkin now. When we ran our first Dorkstock, Star Munchkin had just come out. So there were 2 Munchkins at the time.
Is it fair to say that Munchkin is your favorite game?
No. Munchkin, I like Munchkin, but John
has
drawn so many other games that I wouldn't say Munchkin's my favorite.
What is your favorite flavor of Munchkin? See,
my favorite flavor of Munchkin is Munchkin Bites, which hinges off the old White Wolf games. So you've got all the werewolves and vampires and paranormal characters thrown into a Munchkin game.
My Munchkin game is like really old. I'm like,
you mean it's a classic edition?
Yeah, classic. There we go. It's classic.
I still have a first edition Munchkin as well.
I think I bought it at like one of these cons too. That's kind of
entirely
weird.
Possible. The first Munchkin release was at Gen Con 2001.
Damn, that is crazy.
Yeah.
All right, Jacob. I know you want to say something, so.
Oh,
you've been like going.
I've just been like, yeah, give us more. But yet the question that I'm more wanting to ask you, because I walked in as you guys were playing it, tell us a little bit more about Escape from Dork Tower.
So, Escape from Dork Tower is based on a cheap-ass game that was published in one of the original Dork Tower comic books. It was just an escape from a convention game where the characters are all trying not to win. And one of our game masters, Nancy, has turned this into a life-size game. She also did this with Warhamster Rally, which is an old game from Jolly Roger Games, where your characters are riding on warhamsters and trying to make their way around the course. And warhamsters are not very predictable in their movement, so you're never quite sure which way you're going to end up and whether the other characters might bump into you and push you and mess up the move you have planned for the next turn.
Ah, so that is kind of like a game called I used to play called Robo Rally, where you didn't always know you knew what you were going to do, but someone else might screw up your movement.
It is, and then you add hexagons to it.
Oh.
Exactly.
So, but for Escape from Dork Tower, you said it is you're all playing and trying not to win.
So the monster has one hit point left. The monster is chasing whichever character is currently closest to them, trying to get in the room with them. And if it gets in the room with somebody, that character will kill it because they have to, because it only has one hit point left. So they are actively trying to avoid the monster because they don't want to be the one to win.
This then sounds like a game where you actually want to, let's say, trap and or screw over your other players to make it them win, so that way you can effectively actually win.
That would be exactly the purpose of the game. It's very munchkinly in that sense.
I was about to say, that sounds very munchkinly of all the backstabbing and I'm helping you but not really helping you.
Exactly.
Awesome. Is there anything else that you guys have coming up for development or that you guys are doing or planning?
We're always playtesting new games because in addition to John Kovalik being here this year, we also have Steve Jackson and Phil Reed from Steve Jackson Games.
Nice.
I know they brought a sample printout of the Munchkin Steampunk Girl Genius expansion, which Phil Folio drew and is currently a Kickstarter.
I will have to check that out myself.
And yesterday, John Kovalik was playtesting some games that he's currently working on the designs for. So we always have something not quite on the schedule that's a pleasant surprise. I think it was the second Dorkstock. John brought the freshly printed Shea Greek without images, and we all got to play that pre-release.
Wow, very nice.
Yeah.
So, for the people out there, where is the best place for them to find you?
Well, we have a website, dorkstock.com. And we are planning to be back here next year at the 2019 Game Hole Con.
Good.
And since it overlaps with Halloween next year, we're planning to do a Dork Tower costume party on Halloween.
Ooh, very nice. So
it's not hard to get people to dress up. It is not hard to get people to dress up at a convention. Not at all. Though we did tell the inspiration for Igor that he cannot dress as Igor because it wouldn't be fair to the rest of us who might want to pull off an Igor costume.
You can't dress up as yourself.
Exactly.
Except for Rob. He dresses up as himself all the time.
But does he win any costume contests that way?
No, because Larry's the judge and he's too drunk.
That's a true story, actually.
Fair enough.
So, I have nothing else to say. How about you, Rob?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. We have a lot of fun.
All right, well, thank you guys very much for watching Guys, Games, and Beer. We'll be back with another interview in just a moment.
All right, this is Drunken Larry, and we are continuing our wonderful interviews at Game Hole Con 2018. And I'm with my partner.
I am Jacob, and we have with us
Jimmy Sanders from Mythica Gaming.
Awesome.
And when we a couple years back, we had the pleasure of having him on a show before, and he was working on the Legend of Draxia game.
Yes, indeed. So my first game I designed was Legends of Draxia 2 years ago, right here. Since then, I have created the expansion for it, the Corrupted Mana expansion, right here, which adds a PvP screen error element. So if you've been an avid viewer for the last couple of years, you can see my first interview with the Legends of Draxia. What we are here today to talk about...
Hold on. Back. Slow down.
Gotcha.
First things first, I just got to tell you, the Legend of Draxia game, when I first got it, life happened, and I wasn't able to get to it. But then we got to it, and then it had this run in the house where we were just playing it all the time.
Oh, that's
and,
awesome.
Yeah, it's been super exciting. So I'm really curious about the expansion, and I haven't heard of it before. So what is the expansion, and can I order it, or what?
Oh, okay. Yeah, of course. So the expansion to Legends of Draxia is the Corrupted Mana expansion. That adds a PvP Screw Your Neighbor element to the game. So in the base game, it's all resource management. You draw resources, build buildings, fight monsters, cast spells, score points. The expansion adds a new corrupted spell deck, and you use those corrupted spells to basically go, no, that monster you just killed, it's got more hit points, enjoy. Or that building, nope, famine, you need more food. And so it's just a very munchkin-like backstab, stick out your leg right when they're reaching for the finish line, and then you make them fall on their face.
So it adds a bit of a more... interactive element to
yes,
it.
Yes, yes. Much more interactive. We are currently shipping the game to us right now, and we'll be fulfilling our Kickstarter backers in the next month and a half, and it'll be up on Amazon, ready for people to purchase, in around January, February, give or take.
All right, I'm going to have to get that. So, what else have you been working on?
So I've been working on a whole bunch of lore and storyline for the game. I've got a couple other games that I've been developing as well. The most notable one that is all but here is Fates of Madness. This game I actually co-developed with Legendary Games, which is a Pathfinder third-party publisher. Basically, the story behind this, they had played my Legends of Draxia game, they liked it, and they said, hey, could you design us a game? And so I said, sure, I don't mind doing that. And so what we did was I looked through some of their work, and I decided to use their Gothic Horror Compendium, and took a lot of their art assets, took a lot of their pre-gen characters and things like that, and basically built a 1-to-5-player RPG card game that plays in half hour to 45 minutes that has this gothic horror overtone.
Now, a question that I have for often games that have an option for one player, how does that exactly work in this game? Because some do it real nicely, and some go, it's one player. And it's not really a game anymore.
No. So what's beautiful about this game, you lose almost nothing other than the social interaction between players. So it's a fully cooperative game. How the game plays, you start the game by having a party of four adventurers. So if you play with multiple players,
nice.
You control varying amounts of them. If you play it by yourself, you control the entire party of four adventurers.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. So then what you do is you begin the adventure by drawing a location card. The locations will either be monsters or they will be scenarios.
Oh, eh?
If it's a monster, you kill it. If it's a scenario, you have to interact with it. So the scenarios are things like an abandoned laboratory or a graveyard or a ruined castle, things like that. And so after you've drawn three scenario cards, a big boss monster comes out and tries to kill you.
Like they do.
So if you kill the boss monster, you win.
Woo!
If the boss kills everybody, well, it's pretty obvious you lose.
Yeah.
So what's cool about the game, and this is where you get a lot more value if you want to have extra players, is you can choose to have it played with a GM variant, and I highly recommend it played that way.
Uh-huh.
What you do is the GM selects what location the players go to.
Oh.
So you can basically create a story. So you go, okay, so right now you guys are just walking through the woods and this big storm comes up, and so you seek shelter in this derelict house. As you rush on in, the event in the scenario is try to not fall through the floor and hurt yourself. So you make dexterity checks. If you succeed, you're fine. If you fail, well, you take damage as you fall through the floor. Then the next scene might be you choose to leave the house after the storm's gone away, so the next location card is drawn, and one of the location cards, for example, is a possessed mannequin that there's a little flavor text on all the characters, on all the monsters and stuff, and it says that it's in a dress shop or something. So I like to roleplay this where I say the players leave the house and they decide to travel down the hill and they see this old ghost town. So they go, you know what, let's search this town, let's see if there's anything to find in there. So you happen to be wandering through some old shop and suddenly, out of nowhere, this possessed mannequin just jumps out and stabs somebody. And then you go into the combat and then you fight the monster.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then the next scene I usually do after that one would be, okay, after you finish the combat, you go, you know what, that wasn't very fun. Let's get out of here. This is just an awful place to be. So you just rush out of town. Unfortunately, in your haste, you accidentally ran through the town's graveyard. And so...
Bad idea.
Yeah, bad idea. So the event for that one is, as you are traveling through the graveyard, everybody's having visions of loved ones dying and it's driving you insane. Yeah. So if you fail a wisdom check, you add madness cards into the deck, and I can get to that in a moment for the play of it. And so that's another story. So you basically just continue to build the story. You craft the story using the location cards, so it's really cool. Somebody that's never GM'd before in their life, all they have to do is choose a card. They don't have to mechanically play the game anymore. They don't need to know the rules. They just tell a story with these preset plot points, and it very much brings everybody together.
Very interesting, because, yeah, I can see how you could have it go, oh, you see, you went to seek shelter in this abandoned mansion, and you stumble upon a laboratory, a haunted laboratory or whatnot.
One of those.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, now you got to fight this weird corrupted beast. Why? Because you're in the laboratory.
So you've been playtesting it here, or... demoing it, I guess, more than playtesting it at this point. I assume since it's going to production, we're
yes, it is in production
that.
Right now.
how well has it been received at this con?
It has been very well received. It's not uncommon for me to play through the game, and people will go and give me their email and say, as soon as it's ready, email me, I'm going to buy it. All the time. That's, I would say, 75 to 80% of the people that play the game want to buy it.
So, for Legend of Draxia, there was a playmat, and we found that helpful. And I do have a side point on the expansion.
Yep.
Does it fit into the playmat, or do you have to...
Oh, yes. We'll get to the... for the Draxia stuff, we have continued to create playmats for it. Because originally when I designed the game, I'm a newbie, never did done this before. I made a little snafu. I should have built a playmat, built a playboard into the game directly. We are fixing those problems, so we are continuing with the playmats with this awesome custom art, gorgeous look to it. However, we are currently printing cardboard game boards that we are going to be putting into future base games, along with the expansion comes with a cardboard game board. So if you've got the playmats and you want to continue the playmats, we will offer custom art, cool playmats. But we will, from future point on, produce game boards in all games, so you don't have to get the mats anymore.
Oh, that's great. So if I already have the playmat for this one, when I get the expansion, I would get the subboard.
Yes, you'll have the subboard. Yep.
Oh, that's great. And does the new game have one then, too?
No, actually, we do not have one. One of those things that keeps the game, so it's nice, small, very portable, holds everything up. Sorry. We did not choose to do that. The game's... doesn't really need one. Originally, I thought Draxia didn't need one. Well, I was wrong there. But
I'll tell you, it is helpful.
Yeah, it is helpful. This one, really not... it's not needed. It really isn't. So just to look at some of the art here, if you guys want to look through it. So this is just an example. So here are some of the character cards. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. There you go. So you can just look through some of those cards there. So to begin with, we've got these... Yeah. So what you're seeing here is all of the character cards. So those are all the different champions you can play. So at the beginning, you've got 8 of those characters, and you choose 4 of them, and that's your party. Each character has a set of attributes, so strength, intelligence, dexterity, and wisdom. They also have special abilities. So they've got things like heal, so they can do heal checks, or they've got stealth, so they can hide, things like that. After that, you can move into the location deck, which is probably at there, where you can see all the different monsters that you can potentially fight. So the monsters, you just kill the monsters, move on. And
now, with the character selection, I mean, is it random selection, or do you specifically pick, like, oh, I want to do these, I want to do that?
You can randomly select. I recommend choosing your party. Theoretically, basically, any combination can work, although I think it plays better if you craft a party around, like, hey, we want one bard, and then 2 tanky people and a healer, and, like, build that as your thing, or what have you.
All right. I do know that you're working on some other things in the background also. And what are those things?
Okay, so at the moment, I've been working a lot on my Draxia lore, like I mentioned. So I've been writing a whole bunch of short story content for one of my characters. So it's about 18,000 words, so long short story, short novella. It'll be posted on my website at some point in the next 6 months, probably. I've also been working on a How Magic Works document, basically, for my game universe. And it basically explains how and why magic works in my game universe, written as if it was to be handed to a first-year wizard student at a wizard's guild. So it goes into all the detail, so it's not just, okay, say these words and magic happens. It explains why saying those words makes magic happen. And yeah, yep.
So those are just going to be available on your website or for a small fee download?
No. Those will be just part of my lore that I post on my website. So it's definitely something I want people to see and get to experience.
Oh, that's really exciting, Jacob.
I was just going to say that is pretty amazing because I am a person that when I play a game that has lore like this, I like it when they explain the lore. But they're not just explaining the lore as like, hey, this. But actually as though you're actually in the lore itself as it's being explained.
Yeah, and I've had a few people read it, a few professional authors actually, and they've said they really liked it so far. So I'm making some edits, making some adjustments, but it's going very well so far. And it's been a lot of fun writing it. And I've got a whole bunch of other board games and card games that are in varying levels of development. And as they come out, I will certainly be back next year, and we can go from there, I think.
What website?
What website can we find you at?
So you can find me at mythicagaming.com, and you will find my custom RPG system on there as a free PDF download. So if you like looking at all kinds of cool, awesome RPG stuff, it's got features such as custom spell crafting rules, so you can design your own spells. You want a spell that has a 1 mile range? It can do that. It won't hurt anything, unless you give it a 12-hour cast time, and now you've got an artillery spell. It's a lot of fun.
Hey. Sometimes you need a good artillery spell.
You do. I just like to imagine somebody actually taking a spell like that and go, you know what? That guy is going to be sleeping in his house, and I hate him. So I'm going to start at noon, and I'm just going to target his bed, and at the end of it, zap. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can roleplay that.
Also, hey, I really need to get into that castle. So therefore, I'm going to punch a hole in it.
Yep, and that works too. That's a cool system.
Is there anything else you'd like to add into this?
No, I've thoroughly enjoyed GameholeCon. You guys are awesome. I had a lot of fun 2 years ago, and I look forward to doing this next year.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show.
Rob here with Guys, Games, and Beer.
And I'm Ryan with Guys, Games, and Beer, and we're here at GameholeCon 2018 in Madison, Wisconsin, 6th annual GameholeCon. And we're here with
Adam Loper with Game 4.
All right, why don't you tell us a little bit about Game 4?
Sure. So we started Game 4. We launched it just before Christmas 2017, but we really started to kind of get more people involved in March of 2018. And it is an app for Android and for iOS, and it's designed for gamers to be able to find other gamers, stores, events, clubs and groups, and just players in their local area so they can find more people to play games with. Tabletop gaming is very much about needing to find someone directly, whereas in video gaming you press multiplayer and then they hook you up with somebody. Exactly,
right.
Yeah. Whereas that's not the case with tabletop wargaming. And we're a small company that we make apps for regular businesses and do stuff like that and everything, and that's our normal day-to-day bread and butter. But there's six of us, and we're all tabletop gamers. And so we're like, we know we have the ability to do this, and we have the resources, and we know there's a need. So we decided to launch this, and it's been working out real well. We've got about 25,000 registered users worldwide. Our store finder has got 6,400 stores in it right now. So pretty much anywhere you go, you can just pull out your phone, go to the app, and find where the closest store is to you right now.
Does it have a mapping function on it then?
Well, what it's doing is it's basing it off of either zip code, postal code, or location services. So if you've got location services turned on, you just pull it out, and it will just show you the listing. Just, you know, like these guys are 3 miles away, these guys are 4 miles away, this one's 12 miles away, whatever. You can click on it, and then you can get... you can basically find the address and all that kind of stuff and phone number and all that jazz. Publicly, you know, kind of out there information. Exactly. Right. However, if a store wants to get verified, which they can do for free, then they can put in a description of the kind of stuff that they have at their store. They can put in their hours. They can do all that kind of stuff. And then they can start posting their events, which will show up in the thing, in the app.
So you'll
and
go
then,
where there's local events.
Exactly, yeah.
That's pretty dang cool.
Yeah, and then as a group or club, which is, again, also free, a group or club can put in their events so that they can get more people to come and join their group or their club or whatever. People can do it and join straight through the app. They can message back and forth. There's all it's in in-app messaging, so you're never like if you use the looking for players function where you're like, I really want to play this game or this game or that game, and I don't know anybody in this area. So you can put it out there. It's almost like a personal ad, but you know. But the trick is that it's not your email address. It's not your phone number. It is just messaging. It's messaging straight through the app. So there's like a privacy and like safety kind of extra layer, which we were very really, I don't want to say worried about, but it's something we've been thinking about. We don't want people to be able to stalk people or anything
is it,
like
is
that.
Is it planet-wide?
Yeah.
Well, then you had to worry about GDPR.
Well, sure, exactly. You know, yeah, exactly. That when that happened back in April or whenever.
We're totally getting deep.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not have gone
right, that's fine, but no. We've been very wary, or not wary, we've been very concerned and want to make sure that we have all these things kind of figured out before we even launched. So, yeah, we worked on it for like a year and a half before even launch, and so yeah, it's been a passion project for us.
I'm kind of amazed that something like this hasn't come out before, to be honest, because
there have been
matchmaking really is a big deal.
There have been other ones out there, but what they've all done is generally you fill out your profile, and then they're like, okay, well here's 12 other gamers who live near you. Why don't you make some friends? And tabletop gamers are not necessarily always the best at that. That's a lot of us are introverted, so. The idea of just here's a bunch of gamers who live near you is one thing, but here's a bunch of events you could go to and, you know, things, stores you can go to and clubs you might be able to join. That, for most people, is an easier kind of hill to climb than to just reach out to people and say, hey, do you want to be friends? You know, that's kind of like, so there have been a couple other ones that have done that, and we looked at those previous ones which weren't working, and we're like, what can we do to make it different? And that's what we did.
So, Noah, what are you wearing? Right thing. Now. So I just thought about this because you do mention like people looking for you know groups or whatever. Is it also like maybe a group is looking for a couple more people? Is there anything in that as well?
Yeah. So there's the ability to put your group into the app so that you can not only just be looking for new people to join your group, but it's also for messaging within the group. It allows you as a group to put in an event, and then other people who are looking through the event listing can find the event and then potentially end up joining your group from that. Okay. So. And it's not just stores. When we first launched, you could only have events in stores because the stores are public places, and we already have them on our database, so we know that they're public places. We added something new to the groups thing now where, let's say you play at a bar.
Okay.
Could be. You know, you never know. But let's, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So if you play at a bar is a public place, and then you're able to basically for your group request and say, hey, we want to add this you know, public but not gamer store address to our listing. And then we'll go online and make sure it's not somebody's murder basement or something like that. And we make sure it's actually a real public place. Yeah,
exactly.
And then it's added now to your group. So now every time you want to have an event at that group, you can do that at this particular place. If you want to have an event at a public, let's say someone's home or a private place, like someone's home, you can do that, but only for people who are already group members. So if you're a member of the group and you guys want to have a cookout and play a bunch of board games and all that kind of stuff, that's cool, but no one else, because you don't want randos showing up at your house, you know?
Right. I mean, you don't want the wrong kind of guests in your murder dungeon.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So we've gone through all this kind of stuff, so there's a lot of controls for people. There's blocking, there's reporting, there's a lot of things like that, but there's also a lot of use to the way that it works out.
So I'm guessing it's kind of set up where email verification, create an account.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
When you download the app or whatever.
Yes, but you can also use it in guest mode. Now, what that does is it just allows you to kind of look around. So you don't even have to start an account. You can look and see, like, what kind of events are happening in my area? What kind of looking for players? Or, you know, what kind of games are people looking for? What kind of clubs and groups are there? But if you want to send that person a message or join this thing or whatever, then you have to log in. But you have the ability to kind of look around without even having to go through all that stuff first, just so you kind of kick the tires and see what it's like.
Okay. Should we add again, once again, just the best way to look for the game? You said Android and Apple.
Yeah, it's on Android and Apple, and it's called Game4, which is GameFor. But the website is www.iamgame4.com. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. I really do appreciate
it. Absolutely.
Oh, wait. He does have one other thing. You said you also run a YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I also have a small YouTube channel that I've been doing for a while. It's about getting people into tabletop wargaming. So, like, you know, miniatures right. and painting and all that stuff. Been doing that for a while. And a lot of people... I've been doing it for 5 years, and I've been teaching a lot of people about how to get into it. Because a lot of people are kind of... It's daunting, you know, to start painting and building and all that stuff. But it's been working out for a while. And I've used that as a platform to get people to learn more about Game 4 as well.
There are people who are really picky about their painting, too. So it
can absolutely.
Be kind of intimidating, I think, to get into it.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely. And so it's been a really good platform for kind of getting more people involved in gaming and everything. And it's just... That kind of getting people into that type of gaming, our app being able to get people into regular types of tabletop gaming, because it's not just for wargaming. The Game 4 app is for board games, CCGs, you know, RPGs, all that kind of stuff. And you can filter. Let's say you don't play Magic, you can turn it off so you don't see listings for Magic, and you only see the stuff that you're interested in.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
That is great. Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely.